Welcome to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you by the Mill Street Church of Christ. The Mill Street Church of Christ meets at 415 North Mill Street in Lenox, Kentucky. We assemble on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 10:50 a.m. for worship, as well as 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday evenings for evening worship. We also meet on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for a midweek Bible study. We'd be delighted to have you with us for any of these services. Should you like to have someone come to your home and study the Bible with you, or a free copy of today's program, or a free copy of a Bible lesson through the mail, or if you have Bible questions, requests can be made by calling 234-5055 or 878-6108, or we can be reached on email at millstreetcoc@windstream.net. You might also pay us a visit online at our website at www.millstreetcoc.org. That's www.millstreetcoc.org, where you can listen to sermons and read articles on various Bible topics. Eternal Truth can be heard each Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10 o'clock on 1400 AM, WFTG. We invite you to continue listening and tell others about the program. And now, let's look into God's eternal truth together.
Good Sunday morning and welcome to another edition of Eternal Truth Radio Broadcast. I'm Donnie Oliver. I'm so thankful, listeners, that you are with us on today's program, and we want you to know how appreciative we are for that. We understand that individuals are busy about doing things on Sunday mornings and getting themselves ready to go various places, and so we're thankful that you have taken the time to listen to the program, and we hope that it will be of benefit to you and profitable to you. I want to encourage you to please pay attention to the things that I say on the program. I don't want you to take anything that I say as the truth simply because I say it, but I want us to examine what the Scriptures teach. And I'll do my very best on this program, listeners, to give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that I say. And you feel free to take any notes that you would like to take that you might study these things further. If you have questions regarding the things that you hear on the program, please don't hesitate to contact us. We'll do our very best to look at those questions and seek to give you a book, chapter, and verse Bible answer for your Bible questions. If you listen to the program and you'd like to have a free copy of the program on CD, we'd be more than happy to send that in the mail to you. We'd be happy to give you a correspondence course through the mail that you might study the Bible further in the privacy of your home. Or we'll send you a free Bible. All of those things will be sent to you at absolutely no cost to you. The postage will even be paid to get those things to you. If you listen to the program and you'd like to study the Bible further with us, we stand at the ready to do that. We want you to know, listener, that we will help you in any way that we can to further understand the Bible and assist you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ. We're here for you along those lines. We'll help you do the things that would be necessary for you to be right with God and obey the gospel and study the Bible with you. We'll come to your home and we'll study with you or you and your family or you and your preacher. We'll sit down with an open heart and an open Bible and we'll investigate what the Scriptures teach together. So please don't hesitate to contact us if we can be of assistance to you. Again, our contact information is 234-5055, or you might also give us a call at 878-6108. Again, thank you for being with us on the program today. Today we're going to begin a series of lessons. It may take us 2, 3, 4 weeks to get through this series, but I want us to begin looking at the Lord's Prayer. Now, when you hear that statement, the Lord's Prayer, what comes to mind? What do you think about when you hear the Lord's Prayer? You know, for many individuals, when we hear someone say we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, our minds are automatically taken to Matthew chapter 6 or Luke chapter 4 verses 1 through 4. You recall that in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord is delivering this what is often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And he tells the disciples, he says, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And so the Lord gives them this prayer. And this is the same prayer that's recorded in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And there you'll remember that the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And so Jesus gave them this prayer. And for many people, when they think about the Lord's Prayer, listener, this is what comes to mind. But we're not going to be talking about this prayer, even though we're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer. Now, I hope that that gets the gears turning and you begin to think about, well, if we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, why are we not going to talk about Matthew 6 or Luke chapter 4? Well, we're going to get to that beginning in today's lesson. You see, the prayer that was given in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 4 were not given for the disciples to pray verbatim or by rote. In other words, the Lord did not say, "I want you to pray this word, this prayer word for word." Now, we have individuals in the world today that do that. And they'll sit down and they'll pray what they call the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And they'll pray that repetitiously, verbatim. But the Lord is not giving that prayer to be done that way. This in Matthew 6 and Luke 4 is really a model prayer where the Lord is teaching the disciples how to pray. And he's teaching them that the prayer is to be directed to God, that they are to acknowledge the greatness and the power of God and the greatness and reverence of his name, that they are to pray to God for their daily sustenance, and that they are to ask God to forgive them as they are being merciful to others and forgiving others. That's what the Lord is teaching them. That's why he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 9, "After this manner." You see, it wasn't word for word, but it was after that manner. And there's a lot of things that we can learn from that. But today we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer as recorded in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, you may be familiar with, maybe you're not. But we're going to study that through this series of lessons. And we're going to see what we can learn from the 17th chapter of the book of John. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Lord's Prayer. And someone says, "Well, preacher, why are you calling it the Lord's Prayer?" Well, I'm calling it the Lord's Prayer because that's exactly what it is. The entire 17th chapter of John is a prayer of Jesus that he prayed. Now, of course, he prayed it prior to his arrest and his crucifixion. But this is an entire chapter that records for us a prayer that Jesus prayed. Hence, we can rightfully call it the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Lord didn't pray this for us to pray and repeat it verbatim, but certainly this is a prayer that the Lord prayed, and there is much, much to be learned, listener, from this prayer. We're going to begin to take a look at this prayer on today's program. Now, we want to take the time, even though it's a lengthy reading, we want to take the time up front to read through John chapter 17 in its entirety. Now, we'll do that on today's program, and we'll not do that on the consecutive programs that follow, but we're going to take the time initially to read through this chapter together. And so, you listen to the text as I read it. If you're at home and you have your Bible open, get your eyes on the text, and let's read this together. You read as I read. John 17, beginning with verse 1. "These words spake Jesus, and lift up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee, or came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Listeners, that's a reading of the entire 17th chapter of the book of John, 26 verses that we read about this prayer of the Lord. What a great prayer this is, and how much we can learn from it if we'll take the time to study it and to think about what the Lord is saying in this prayer. There are many points that we're going to go over, and many more, no doubt, could be looked at from this 17th chapter of the book of John. And so I hope that the lesson is going to be profitable to you. Now, the 17th chapter of John can really be broken up into a couple of sections. Let me think about it. In the first half of the chapter, he is praying to God on behalf of the apostles, those that were with him, those that were a witness to the works that he did, to the miracles that he did, that had firsthand knowledge about the things that he taught. They listened to him. They were with him in person. And he's praying to God on their behalf. And that's basically verses 1 through 19. But then beginning with verse number 20, throughout the rest of the chapter, the Lord is praying not only for the apostles, but for those, according to verse 20, that would believe on him through the word of the apostles. Now that's everyone from the time of the Lord on down to this present time, to the end of the world. Those that will believe on him through the word of the apostles and the words of the apostles written down in the Bible, we have their words, the things that were made known to them by revelation. Remember that Jesus, talking to the apostles in John, the 14th, 15th, and 16th chapter, promises them that he would not leave them without comfort, that he would send the Comforter to them when he ascended back to the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would bring back to their remembrance all the things that Jesus had taught them. And not only that, but it would guide them into all truth. Again, that's John chapters 14, 15, and 16. And so they received the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, and they penned the things down that they received by revelation so that when we read it, then we can understand what was revealed unto them. You'll find that, by the way, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. So much so that the Apostle Paul penned in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 17, he said, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And so we can believe and we can have faith, which, by the way, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. So we can read the Bible, we can study it, believe those things, obey those things, and be right in the sight of God. What a blessing it is, listeners, that we have the recorded Word of God, the revealed Word of God to mankind, the final revelation from God to man, contained in the Bible. What a blessing that is. And so basically then, John chapter 17 can be divided into those two sections, a prayer on behalf of the apostles, and then a prayer on behalf of all the disciples, all of those that would believe on the Lord through the teachings of the apostles. And of course, again, those things are penned down for our benefit in the Bible today. Now, the first thing that I want us to think about as we think about this prayer of the Lord, as contained in John chapter 17, is the fact that Jesus directs the prayer to the Father. Now, we may read this and we may just look at verse number 1 and we may read that verse and really just skip over or perhaps take for granted this very fundamental fact. Now, notice, if you will, again, verse number 1. "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." Well, we may read that verse and we may just skip right over it. We may not give it much thought, but that's significant. It's significant for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is, viewers or listeners, is the fact that not everybody believes that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of the Father. Not everybody believes that Jesus was sent from the Father. Oh, you may have individuals who say, well, yes, we believe that, and then they turn right around and say that the Son and the Father, now listen closely to what I'm saying, they will say the Son and the Father are the same person, that they are not two individuals, that they are the same person. Now, that is a prevalent teaching today, namely, mostly among charismatic Pentecostals, maybe called oneness Pentecostals, depending on what area you are in. Some of them are referred to as holiness, oneness Pentecostals. Now, not all of them believe that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the same person, but many of them do. You cannot read, listeners, John chapter 17 and still walk away believing that the Father and the Son are the same person. And we're going to explain that as we go through this lesson. So there's no disputing that Jesus is the one who is praying. Now, again, verse number 1 tells us that Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and prayed to the Father. Now, obviously, Jesus was on the earth when he was praying to the Father. Let me ask you this question. Jesus was on the earth. Where was the Father when he was praying to him. He was in heaven, right? Verse number 1, Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. You see, God the Father was in heaven. You'll remember again as we began this lesson with the model prayer that the Lord gave in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 4. And in those passages, the Lord said, after this manner pray ye, our Father who art in heaven. Where is the Father? In heaven. Where was Jesus, the Son? On the earth. Now, how can you logically believe that God the Father and God the Son are the same person, the same individual, when you have one that is in heaven and one that is on the earth? And not only that, but Jesus, who is on the earth, who is a Son of God, is praying to the Father who's in heaven. Now think about that. Some deny then that the Son and the Father are two separate personalities, but yet, listeners, the Bible affirms that they are. Multitudes of Bible references show forth that the Son and the Father are not the same person. Now, we need to be a prayerful individual. The Lord was. Many times the Bible records that Jesus went out to a solitary place and he prayed, or as they took bread, he blessed it and prayed for it. Remember in Matthew chapter 26, as he was instituting the Lord's Supper, he took the bread, he took the cup, and he prayed and he blessed them. He thanked God. And we need to be doing the same thing. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, that we need to pray. Now, look at that passage, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. As Paul is writing to those at Philippi, notice what he says. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? God. You see, as a result of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, we have access to the Father. That's why the Hebrew writer penned in Hebrews chapter 4, when he said in verse number 16, if you want to turn there, write that passage down, he said, therefore, let us come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As a result of what Jesus did, we now can go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. And we're admonished numerous times to do that. In places like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17, pray without ceasing, that text says. But again, we're able to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer when we're in a right relationship with Him. John 9:31 teaches that God heareth not the words of sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of Him and doeth His will, Him He heareth. So when we're doing the will of the Father, He will hear us. We can go to Him in prayer. Had Jesus not accomplished what He did on the cross, we would not have access to God. But that is accomplished by what Jesus did. Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament, the testator of a better covenant, according to the book of Hebrews. And all those things that He accomplished, one of those is that we have access to God, our Father, through prayer. Now, as we think again, about this idea of the Father and the Son being two separate individuals. You know, many times individuals will go to John chapter 17 and they'll say, well, preacher, the Bible says in verses 11 and 22 that Jesus and the Father are the same, or that they are one. Again, it doesn't say that they're the same. It says that they are one. Now notice, if you will, verse number 11. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now he's talking about the apostles, that the apostles may be one as me, Father, and you are one, the Lord is saying. Now in verse number 22, he's talking about all of the disciples that would believe on him through the word of the apostles. And he says, and glorify, or in the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one even as we are one. Now listen, in like manner as the Father and the Son are one, so are all the disciples to be one. So were the apostles to be one. But let me ask the question. Were the apostles to be one individual? Are all the disciples, the believers today, to be one individual? No. You see, you understand and I understand that that's an impossibility. We can't be one individual. Now, we can be one, depending on how you look at it, but we can't be the same person. That's an impossibility. But as the Father and the Son are one, so are we to be one. So in what way are they one? Over in the book of 1 John, if you will write this down, perhaps you can turn over there and read it as I read it. There's a statement that oftentimes is used to try to advocate that the Son and the Father are the same person. First John chapter 5, verse number 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And he says that there's three, but that they're one. What does that mean, that they're the same person? No. Remember, Jesus was on the earth and the Father was in heaven. Remember at the baptism of Jesus, as recorded in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, Jesus was baptized of John, and when he arose, John saw the Spirit in the shape of a dove that came down and descended down and it abode upon Jesus. And there was a voice that came from heaven that said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Remember that? In the Transfiguration, as recorded in Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain and he was transfigured before them, and there appeared unto them Moses and Elias that was talking with Jesus. Well, Peter thought, he got the idea that it'd be good to build three tabernacles, one to Moses, one to Jesus, one to Elias. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud, what did it say? "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Where did the voice come from? Heaven. Wasn't Jesus, was it? It was the Father saying, "This is my Son. Hear ye him." In the book of Luke chapter 23 and verse number 46, when Jesus was suspended between heaven and earth on the old rugged cross of Calvary, he made several statements on the cross, and one of them is found in Luke 23:46, when he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Remember some of the other words? "Father, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Think about that. He was talking to the Father who was in heaven. In the book of Mark chapter 16, and verse number 15, Jesus told the apostles, "Go out and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, 15 and 16. In verse 19, the Bible says that when Jesus spoke these things, he ascended to heaven and he sat on the right hand of God. Not that he sat on his own right hand. That would be ridiculous. He sat on the Father's right hand. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, when Stephen was being stoned, remember, he looked up to heaven, and what did he see? He said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Remember that? Jesus and the Father are not the same person. They are one in the sense of unity. Of unity. Not the same person. But what the Father wills, the Son wills. What the Father desires, the Son desires. That was evidenced in the life of Christ. You know, even that statement, "these are one," can be found in relation to a husband and wife. All the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Remember that Adam and Eve were joined together, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." He's not saying that they're the same person, but that they were one in unity, in goal, direction, purpose, and so forth, will. And so we need to think about that. I hope that this lesson has been a benefit to you. Many more points we're going to cover on the lesson, and we'll continue it next week if it be the Lord's will. Again, if you have questions, please call us 234-5055. If we can be of assistance to you in your gospel of Christ, please don't hesitate to give us a call. Until next time, thank you for listening to the program.
You've been listening to Eternal Truth Radio program brought to you each Sunday morning at this same time by the Mill Street Church of Christ. We appreciate you listening to the program and encourage you to continue doing so each Lord's Day. Be sure to tell others about the program, and if we can be of assistance to you in your obedience to the gospel of Christ, give us a call at 234-5055 or 878-6108. And until next week, spend time meditating on God's eternal truth.